I asked Chuck on Wednesday morning to help frame Mark in this sermon, and I want to thank him for doing that. It feels like a lifetime, actually, since Wednesday morning until this morning. After every great victory, a storm is coming. This week, our country has been grieving the 9 African Americans who were murdered by a white gunman while attending a Wednesday night prayer meeting. At the same time, our General Assembly was debating and voting for fewer restrictions for those who carry guns in the state of North Carolina. Reverend Dr. William Barber addressed our Southern Conference annual meeting in Greensboro, where Rick and I have been in attendance this past week. He called on us to repudiate the lone gunman thesis. And then he offered an historic framework. After every great victory, he said, a storm is coming. After the Civil War comes Jim Crow. And after the victories of Montgomery and the March on Washington, 4 little girls lay dead in their church in Birmingham. And by the end of that same year, President Kennedy would be assassinated. After the great victories of the election and re-election of Barack Obama, we have seen the most extreme voter suppression legislation enacted in the country, right here in North Carolina. And as we were hearing the news about the violence that rained down on black Christians in a prayer meeting, our General Assembly was debating a bill that would make guns more freely available and easier to carry in North Carolina. Reverend Barber reminded us that the free flow of racialized political speech may begin with words, but most assuredly will end in violence. No elected official today openly uses racial epithets, but the encoded message is clear. Barber recalled that the terrorism that killed 4 little girls in their Sunday school class began with the inaugural speech of Governor George Wallace that same year. Segregation yesterday, segregation today, segregation forever. On January 14, 1963, Wallace's platform was crowded with followers wearing white flowers, which meant to symbolize their commitment to white supremacy. John Lewis, U.S. Representative from Georgia, reflected on Governor Wallace's speech. Words can be very powerful. Governor Wallace never fired a gun, but in his speech, he created the environment for others to pull the trigger in the days and weeks and months to come. And so on September 15th, 1963, 4 little girls lay dead at the 16th Street Church in Birmingham, Alabama. And by November 22nd, 1963, John Kennedy would be gunned down in Dallas. The massacre in Charleston has a context if we care to connect the dots between racialized politics that ensued after the election and re-election of Barack Obama to the 9 African Americans slain in the church that was the epicenter of resistance to slavery and white supremacy for 200 years. These acts of violence are not random. They have a context as reliable as the ancient scriptures that those people were studying at the prayer meeting at Mother Emanuel last Wednesday night. Marilyn Robinson writes in this in her essay concerning fear. Two things, she writes. First, contemporary America is full of fear. And second, fear is not a Christian habit. In the 26th chapter of Leviticus, we find a description of the state of the people of Israel will find themselves in if they depart from loyalty to God. The sound of a driven leaf shall put them to flight. They shall flee as one flees the sword, and yet none pursues. They shall stumble over one another as if to escape a sword, though none pursues. Now, of course, there are many in our country, she writes, who have weapons that would blast that leaf to atoms. And they would feel brave as they did it, confirmed in their alarm by the fact that there are so very many leaves. I have read, she said, that Americans are buying Kalashnikovs in numbers sufficient to subsidize Russian rearmament, to help their manufacturers achieve economies of scale. In the old days, these guns were intended for a land war, that is, to kill Americans. Now they are being brought to this country in such numbers that they will surely kill Americans. Gun sales, it turns out, stimulate gun sales. It's a splendid business model. Fear operates as an appetite or an addiction. You can never, it turns out, be safe enough. After every great victory, a storm is coming. The response is always cloaked. The murderers always work in secret. The storm whips up like a storm at sea. You can't tell where it's coming from. The rage buffets on every side. Mark plots out the progression for us. It's right here. Jesus is winning great victories. If you read the chapter that precedes the storm, once his whereabouts become known, the crowds overwhelm. A paralytic has to be lowered through the roof to get to Jesus. So then he goes outside by the sea. Still the crowds press in. So he must withdraw with his disciples. But Mark reports a great multitude follows him. So he must teach from a boat, lest he be crushed. He goes up to the mountain, but no sooner does he come down than the crowd comes together again so that they could not even eat. Once again, the size of the crowd requires that he get into a boat to teach. And by that evening, he will step into the boat to cross over to the other side. Following this great series of victories comes the storm. The waves overwhelm the boat so that it is filling up, and Jesus is asleep in the stern. Now, if I were in the midst of a storm and Jesus was in the boat, so trusting that he could sleep, you know, wouldn't it help us out? Would we freak out if it was Jesus in the boat? You know, I think if Jesus was in the boat, I should be calm. But they weren't. The great victories, it turns out, evaporate. Jesus' own calm does not convince. They wake him up. Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? The visitation of chaos is our dread enemy. Our Bible opens its mouth in Genesis to proclaim a God who set the boundary for chaos. When Jesus commands the wind and the sea, his language recalls the second day of creation in Genesis. Peace, be still, means literally, be quiet, be muzzled. It is the same language used to bind demons later in this chapter. God is about the work of literally muzzling our greatest fears. Then the one who binds the storm and muzzles the mouth of fear asks those in the boat, where is your faith? Faith. You know, to us, a fragile dike holding back the sea of our fear. And yet nothing other than faith will move us from paralysis to action. Only faith binds the mouth of fear. opens the ears, focuses the sight, and strengthens the heart. No other boundary holds back the chaos, only faith. Faith is trust in the Creator, such that Jesus can be at peace in the middle of a storm. It is this trust that is literally saving. Some will be lost, swallowed up in their fear, but many will be saved. And what is this salvation? It's the ability to face the future with confidence and trust. To be saved is to be delivered from everything that produces hopelessness, distrust, and alienation. Salvation is the living presence and reassurance that God loves us, values every life, and is ready to trust us with a great purpose. Having crossed over, Jesus and the disciples are met once again with chaos, now in human form in the Gerasene demoniac. Here we stare into the maw of our worst fears. Here awaits the disordered one, the lone shooter. Mark knows. This isn't news. The man living in death, a community that could not manage him, so they chained him to the tombs. His force was so great, he broke the chains, he was yelling among the graves and cutting himself with stones. His name is Legion, for he says, "We are many." This is the mission field. You want to know what your purpose is? You, me? This is it. The disordered one, once in death, ruled by chaos, now sits at the feet of Jesus, organized and clothed in his right mind. But when the people in that place heard it, they begged Jesus to depart from their neighborhood. This is the destination for those of us who get in the boat with Jesus. Many will be healed, great crowds will form, but a storm is coming. But they do not perish. Jesus is in the boat. He's in the boat with us now. But he will bring hope to those who are disordered, and those in that neighborhood will beg him and us to leave, because that lone demoniac is serving a purpose in that neighborhood. We know where the story leads. The storms will whip up again and again until those who craft encoded messages take Jesus under the cover of darkness. Where he's where? He's at a prayer meeting. You know, it turns out evil is predictable. Its ways over these 2,000 years are well known. In the end, it is not a lone, disordered one. It is a whole community who arrests, tries, and tortures Jesus and hangs him from a tree. In the end, it is not a lone, disordered one who destroys the hope of the world, but a whole society that sanctioned his death. But remember, in the end, it is also a lone Savior who carried the cross, and a faithful God who birthed a new creation out of that bloody chaos. A physical therapist in this congregation once offered an insight that I think pertains. The key to recovery, she said, lies within us. We must finally decide, because the pain is so great. With all of our technology, whether related to firearms or to surveillance cameras, in the end, it boils down to faith. Do we have the faith that Jesus is still in the boat with us? Do we have the faith to believe that we can change the direction of our communities? Do we have the strength and perseverance to be the ones to push back the boundary of chaos? You know, so much determination is required to return to the simplest elements of fairness and order in society. Will faith in our neighbors, in our capacity to live peaceably with each other, to create a just society, hold? Or will we withdraw even further into our armed camps? Having pushed back the fears of the loss of our ability to create places of safety and vitality for everyone, you know, our doubts revisit. They threaten to engulf us. These are not small fears. They are like a trapdoor. They send us to the basement of our souls, and we revisit all the dragons we thought we had slain, all the ghosts, all the pain we thought we had dealt with, and now they come swimming back to swamp our little boats. Our healing will take us through the storm, but it only does that to deliver us to the disordered one, whose name is Legion. This is what awaits those who get in the boat with Jesus. He will ever lead us out beyond what we know to be his gracious witnesses, but that journey takes us into the mouth of our most paralyzing fears. The storms will teach us things, though. The storm teaches us to rely on him, so that the chaos that we've been sent to bind, the inflammatory speech that ends in bloody death that we have been sent to muzzle, will at long last have no power over us. This is our great purpose. We are his witnesses. We have been sent out to muzzle fear, to restore a just and peaceful order. Sisters and brothers, there is a world out there that needs you now. And our silence only empowers those who are busy encoding and spreading fear. And what we have been given is sufficient. This is the good news. You know, even your mustard seed of faith is sufficient. It will muzzle the mouth that spews fear. It will steady the boat and stay the course. Have faith that God has set you about a great purpose, and that faith, hope, and love that's in your heart is enough. We are well equipped, and we are not alone, but it is time for us to step into the boat. In the name of Jesus Christ and through his Spirit, we welcome you to the United Church of Chapel Hill, an open and affirming God is still speaking congregation of the United Church of Christ. You are welcome here on this Father's Day. If you are a father or a grandfather or the child of one, you are welcome here if you are seaworthy or if you have a dread fear of the water. You are welcome here if you know what it is to rest in the presence of Jesus, trusting that he will make a way through the storm. And you are welcome here if you are meeting Jesus for the first time and are suitably impressed with the risks that those who follow him will surely encounter. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here.